passage of Scripture, this 8th chapter of Romans, and I want to try to preach from it this morning. And I would say, I suppose, that this is another in the continuing work that I'm praying about and studying on and dealing with in these hymns from the Bible. We've talked about Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, Softly and Tenderly. Recently, maybe not too long ago, it's not been a continuing series each Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, but it hasn't been long ago. We preached on how firm a foundation is Jesus, my Lord. Preached on Come Unto Me in our Wednesday night services last year and used page 44 in the hymnal. Here this morning, I want to use page number 220 in the hymnal, and we'll read some of it after we read our text this morning, beginning in Romans chapter 8 in verse number 28. If you're able and willing to stand with us to reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord, I'd invite you to stand. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28. The Word of the Lord says, and we know... I'm glad there's some things you can know this morning.
Amen.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, he didn't say that all things work together for good and stop there, but he said to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. If you're living according to the will of God for your life, and you love Him, and you desire His work in your life, He will work all things for good. Everything won't be good, but He'll work it for good, and I praise His name for that. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. Glad I'm justified here this morning. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. By the way, I'm just noticing as I'm reading in verse number 34, notice how these things are present tense. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? None of those past tense. Every one of them present tense. I'm glad God is not the great I was, but He is the great I am. Amen. Even now. Verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. A few weeks ago we preached right there on more than conquerors. Verse 38, here's another sermon text. For I am persuaded. I wonder, are you tonight, this morning, are you persuaded? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. Beautiful passage of Scripture. Hold your Bibles open, if you will, this morning. Follow along with us as we'll take our sermon this morning and what God has given us directly from this section of the Word of God. And we'll take our text specifically from verse number 39. It is not a complicated thought, though it's a bigger thought than what I can preach on in one message and exhaust. It's bigger than what has been exhausted, and greater and deeper and richer than what
what has been exhausted by all of the preaching since the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, and to since it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, we have not tapped the subject of what I'm preaching on here this morning from verse number 39, where He did say, shall be able to separate us from, here's our text, the love of God. I'm preaching on, if the Lord will help me this morning, simply on the love of God. The love of God. I'm thankful that He's a God that has great love for us. In the page number 220 in the church hymnal is written that song that was copyrighted in 1917 and renewed again in 1945. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hill. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Verse 2 said, when hoary times shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and mountains call, God's love so sure will still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race. Those saints and angels' song, that verse number 3 was found written upon the walls of an insane asylum. A man they thought was crazy in his life, after his death they discovered how he had etched these words into the block of that little padded room. Oh, my friend, and he had much more wisdom than what they knew about. As it said in verse 3, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scrolls contain the whole, those stretch from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Oh, He said so much in this chapter, but my, what a broad statement was made. What a broad stroke, my friend, of the brush was made when He spoke in verse number 39 of the love of God. I'm glad I know a God of love, and I know the love of God. Amen. I praise His sweet name for that. This passage reveals the marvelous and incomparable love of God. It's a great blessing this morning to know that God's love is not based on human triumph or tragedy, what we have earned or deserve. His love is unlike any love that man can experience or can exhibit in this life. He has, my friend, a very special love. His love is amazing, abiding, abounding, and astounding. Amen. I'm glad I know His love. His love is remarkable. His love is commendable. His love is irreplaceable. And His love is incomparable. I thank God that I know something about the love of God. His love is a steadfast love. His love is a strong love. It's a settled love. It's a secure love. And it is the Savior's love. Thank God for the love of God. His love this morning is a personal love, Brother Bob. It's not just a corporate love. It's a personal love. He loves me as small as I am. He loves me as if I were His only child. It's a personal love. His love is a present love. Hey, ma'am, that's right. His love is a persistent love. His love is a patient love. His love is a perfecting love. I'm being made perfect by the patient work and the persistent work of the love of God. His love is a providing love. And thank God, His love Christ. Thank God for His great love. This morning, His love, it is an unmerited love. You didn't earn it. You didn't buy it. You didn't win it, friend. He won our love, but we didn't win His. He loved us when we didn't know Him. He loved us when we didn't care about Him. He loved us when we didn't love Him. And we love Him because He first loved us. His love is an unmerited love. His love is an unmatched love this morning. Thank God nobody loves like Jesus loves. His love is an undeserved love. You don't deserve it, but He still gave it. His love is an unchanging love. Oh, thank God. And I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. But His love is an unchanging love. His love is an unconditional love. He doesn't love us because of something. He just loves us because. Amen. It's an unconditional love. Oh, my. Here a while back, I sat down with my girls. And I told them that I loved them. And that they're going to bed. We do this every night, you know. And I told them I loved them. They said, I love you too. I looked back at them. I said, why do you love me? And Katie just said, to shrug her shoulder like this, shook her hands out, and said, because. I mean, that is all a reason she needed. Was just because. Somebody said, I don't know why Jesus loved me. Just because. Because He decided to. Because He chose to. You didn't do anything to get God to love you. He loves you unconditionally. He just loves you because He decided to love you.
Ain't it a blessing to know the love of God? Hallelujah to His high and holy name. It is a unconditional love. I want to say, friend, it is a love that is totally founded in Him. It's not in us. It's founded in Him. It is founded of Him. And it is founded by Him. Amen. What wondrous love, this love of God. Now, that's all that I've already told you. It's enough to preach a sermon series on, let alone a sermon on. Amen. And that's just the opening paragraph and the opening introduction to the message itself. We haven't even touched on these verses. How great is the love of God? How deep? How rich? How wonderful? Marvelous, matchless, this wondrous grace and mercy and the love of God. I'm glad I know something. Listen to me this morning. I don't know everything about the love of God, and neither do you. But I'm glad I know something about the love of God.
Amen.
Hey, thank God. None of us know everything about it, but I'm glad I'm not a stranger to it. I'm glad I know something about the love of God. I'm in love with my Savior, and He's in love with me. He is with me from day to day. What a friend is He. Watches over me while I sleep. Hears me when I pray. I'm as happy as I can be. And then I can say, somebody loves me. Answers my prayers. Hallelujah. Somebody, I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. Here's the best part. That somebody's Jesus. And I know He's mine. I don't know everything about the love of God. But I'm glad I do know something about the love of God. Amen. Well, bless His name. I'm preaching this morning on the love of God. First of all, notice in our chapter this morning, God's love is a proven love. His love has stood the test, friend. It's a proven love. And now God doesn't owe it to us to prove anything. But the fact that He has proven His love for us affirms even more so the greatness of the love He has for us. God don't have to prove nothing to you. He doesn't owe it to you. He doesn't owe it to me. But I'm glad that He has proven His love. It's proven in verses 28 through 31 by His interest in us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate.
destiny. Now in verse number 29 through verse 31, by the way, he's working his way through to tell us who those are that are called according to his purpose. Alright? Verse 28 closes out talking about the called according to his purpose. Verses 29 through 31 tells us who those people are. Verse 29 says, as the ones he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now when he said he predestinated them, don't stop at the word predestinate. Finish the sentence. To be conformed to the image of his Son. This predestination has nothing to do with salvation. Has everything to do with sanctification and your service to the Lord. And notice whom he did foreknow. The ones through foreknowledge he saw would believe in him and trust in him and would give their lives to him. He predestinated or predetermined that they would be conformed unto the image of his Son. It's his perfect will that everybody that's ever been saved would be conformed to the image of the Son of God, that he would make of us what we could not make of ourselves. And my friend, there's no need in stumbling at that word predestinate. It's a Bible word, and with a rightly divided doctrine, it's a blessing unto us. Amen. And he said, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I'm glad to be in the number of the Lord's family here this morning. And verse 31, he says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I tell you, he's interested in you this morning. He's interested in me. His love is shown in that he's for us. He's had us on his mind before we ever came around. He was already thinking about us. We were already occupying his thoughts. He foreknew us. He understood where we'd be, what we'd go through, what experiences we'd have in life before we ever came into being into this world. He has interest in us. Notice that all he ever did, he did it for us. Jesus didn't come to earth to do one single thing for himself. All that he did it for you and for me. At the request of his Father, he proved his love for us. Him not even withholding from us even the gem of the glory world. In verse 32, he said, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he wouldn't keep Jesus back from us, he won't keep back anything from us. The Lord is interested in us.
And his interest in us proves his love for us. Amen. Psalms chapter 84 and verse 11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He knows and even foreknew all about us. He is interested in our situation. And he cares so much about us so as to see to it that he works all things for our good and for his glory. That's love, friend. That's love. Hey, holy God, my friend, knows how to do this. All things are not good, but his love is so powerful that he can work it for good. How about that? Only God knows how to bring good out of any situation, no matter how bad it might be. We can't always bring good out of a situation, even if it's not all bad. But God can take a situation, no matter how bad it might be, and bring good out of it. I'm glad he knows how, friend. He shows us he's interested in us, and it proves his love for us. You know what? Whenever you show disinterest in your wife or your husband,
it shows you really don't love them much as what you say you do. You're not you interested more in whatever's going on at the ball game or in the television. You're interested more in whatever's going on your low-down Facebook account. You're interested more in what everybody else is doing, everybody else has got happening. Somebody say amen what I'm preaching right here. You're interested more in all that business than what you are your spouse. It shows you don't love them like you say you do. Amen, amen, and to God be the glory. And whenever we're interested in everything else more than what we are God, it shows we don't love God like we say we do. Amen. That's right. And whenever, friend, if God was interested in everything else except for us, it'd show that He didn't love us like He says He does. But I'm telling you, He's so interested in us that He sees our very situations of our everyday life. And in all of them, He's promised that no matter how bad they may be, that He, through His infinite wisdom, power, and might, will take even bad situations and bring good out of them for us. I tell you, it is proof positive of the great love of God He has for us.
He's proven His love and His interest for us. He's proven His love by His intercession for us in verse 32 through 34. Already read verse 32. How shall He spare not His own Son, delivered Him up for us all? How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? That is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Who is at the right hand? Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? He gave Himself and became our sacrifice. But He's also become our mediator. The Old Testament priest gave of a lamb. Our high priest had made Himself our lamb. And He gave Himself for us. And He made intercession for us. And through each act, my friend, He interceded for us. Verse 34 outlines that for us. And my friend, it is Christ that died. He made intercession for us from the tree. Even in His suffering, He made intercession for us. Through His suffering, He prayed for us. In the garden, He prayed in John 17 and 20. And neither to pray out for these alone. That's the disciples. That for them also which will believe on me through their word. That's us. In the garden of Gethsemane, He was praying for us. From the cross, He prayed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He never stopped interceding for us. How I praise His name. Through all of His suffering, He never lost sight of us.
He's proven His love by His intercession for us from the tree in verse 34. It is Christ that died out of the tomb in verse 34. He said it's Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen again. And Romans 4 and 25 said He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. His resurrection, His death was all about us. And His resurrection was all about us as well. Amen. He did not leave us out. He was delivered for our offenses, that is our sin, and raised again for our justification. And now hear this, since Christ died under the weight of our sin guilt, the resurrection says that our sins are gone and defeated as surely as the death our sins brought on were defeated. When Christ defeated death, that death was the death of our sins. And when Christ defeated that death, He defeated my sin and yours. It's not just that my sins are forgiven, forgotten, and forever gone. My sins have been defeated. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. And listen, hey, our resurrected, living, and exalted Lord is a testimony that the believer is completely and totally justified in the resurrection of Jesus.
It's a proven love. He's proven it by His intercession.
from the tree in verse 34 is Christ that died. Out of the tomb that is risen again. And on the throne he intercedes. It says that he is now even at the right hand of God making intercession for us. I listen, friend, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost and coming to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. As he sits high upon the throne, my friend, he still has not forgotten about us. We were on his mind in the garden. We were on his mind at Gabbatha. And my friend, we were on his mind at Golgotha. We were on his mind at the garden tomb. Oh, but friend, thank God. While he's ascended back to the Father soon and sits at the right hand of God, we are still on his mind. And we still occupy his thoughts. He's making intercession for us. I say bless his name to it this morning. I'm glad I've got access to God through the person of Jesus Christ. His power and his authority testifies that by faith in him and him alone I can be saved. And if Jesus says you're forgiven and he sits at the right hand of God on the throne, whoever could declare any differently? If Jesus says your sins are gone, who's of my friend able to say anything else and be so?
Right. Amen.
Oh my. What about that verse in verse 33? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth.
Amen.
You see the picture of the courtroom being brought up on charges? The accuser of the brethren. That's what that word devil means, is an accuser. The accuser of the brethren is what he's called in the book of Revelation. Comes before the throne of God. Much as he did in the days of Job. When the sons of men came to present themselves before the Lord. Then Satan came also with them. And he said, hast thou considered thy servant Job? He accused Job of only serving God for blessings and benefits. He accuses us day and night before the throne of God. But when he says, God, I know everything that Randy Easton has ever done, just how low down, good for nothing, sorry, and there he is. Look here at the list of evil things that he's had in his heart. And look at the list of things he's guilty of. You know what God does? He looks down at the list through the blood of Jesus Christ, and he says, what sin are you talking about? I mean, if Jesus says you're forgiven, who in the world can say you're guilty? If Jesus says you're justified, who in the world can condemn you? I thank God, friend, for his intercession for us.
Amen.
Oh, bless his name. Who is he that condemneth? Who does he think he is?
Right.
It's Jesus that died. It's Jesus that is raised. It's Jesus that sits at the right hand. It's Jesus that makes intercession for us. If you're going to condemn us, you'd have to be more powerful than Jesus. You'd have to know more than Jesus. You'd have to be higher than Jesus. And nobody ranks in that territory. Thank God. I'm forgiven because Jesus said so. Ain't that a blessing? The love of God. You don't know what I've done, preacher. I sure don't. And if you're saved, he don't know no more either. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. And what men will never let you live down, God won't never bring back up.
Right.
Amen. That's exactly right. And what you can't even stand to forget, he won't never remember. Amen. He's had a blessing, thank God. Oh yes, he makes intercession for us. Well, for all imperfect folks, that ain't doing much, Brother Bob. For those of us that's had sin in our lives, that's helping us. Amen. Thank God. His love
love is a proven love. I've got to hurry along. I'll preach fast if you'll listen fast. Secondly, this morning, His love is a perfect love. It's a proven love and it's a perfect love. And now we love those who love us. We even love God because He first loved us. We love with the expectation of receiving love in return. We love inequitably. We love inconsistently. And we love imperfectly. But God's love is a perfect love. Our love is manifested imperfectly many times. You see, I've heard folks make the statement, "I love my kids too much to spank them." Why, that's certainly an imperfect manifestation of love. If you really love your children, it ought to be manifested by you taking the rod of correction and driving foolishness out of their heart. Amen. But oftentimes we love imperfectly. Our soft-heartedness we confuse for love. But being soft-hearted and being loving is oftentimes two different things. But God's love is always manifested perfectly. It's always applied perfectly. It's always carried out perfectly. It's always communicated perfectly. It's always demonstrated perfectly. And the end of the Bible, it is declared perfectly. His love is a perfect love. His love is without selfishness. His love is without any inappropriate motive or emotion. His love is absolute and it's absolutely perfect. His love is seen perfectly. In verse number 31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I tell you the phrase from that passage that tells me the perfection of God's love, where that little phrase is, God be for us. I'm glad God is for us this morning. God's not against you. God is for you this morning. Oh, what marvelous love. He seeks not His own interest in His relationship with us, but God is for us.
You ever had folks that you had a relationship of one kind or another with, and you figured out they're just in it for themselves? Spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend, maybe a neighbor or a buddy, maybe a business acquaintance. It is all a one-sided relationship. They were just in it for themselves. Somebody said a good relationship 50-50. But chances are, if all you got is 50%, somewhere or another that relationship will fall apart, because if you're going to keep it going, sometimes you've got to go more than halfway.
Amen.
And God doesn't give us a relationship that's 50-50. Matter of fact, it's just 100%. He's for us.
Amen.
He's for us. Who's God for? He's for you. He's for me. He's for us. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, yes. And I want to say something else this morning. I'm for Him. Amen. I'm for Him. And surely is what He's for us. I'm for Him. There's an old man used to stand and testify. Then got close to being senile. And he wouldn't say he was for Him. He said, "I'm for Him." He said, "I just want everybody to know this morning whose side I'm on. I'm for Him. I ain't against Him. I'm for Him." And I'll say amen to it this morning. I'm for Him. He's for me and I'm for Him. I'm glad to be on the Lord's side.
Amen.
That's right. God's love is a perfect love. Then thirdly this morning, I want to say God's love is a powerful love. It's a powerful love. As a matter of fact, let me say it again. It's a powerful love. That's right. We can say it's a powerful love, but that don't sound strong enough. It's a powerful love. Amen. That's exactly right. I can say power however I want to. Being a power as I can say it however I want to. Amen. That's exactly right. Oh, yes. Hey, friend. It's a powerful love. It's a powerful love. It's a strong love. It's a mighty love. It's so powerful. Look at verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted sheep for the slaughter." Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I tell you, it is a powerful love. It's so powerful that His love casts out fear, and no fear can haunt us.
us. I thank God. Verse 35, who shall separate us? Look at these things to be afraid of. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. But verse 37 said, and all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. His love is powerful. 1 John 4:18 said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You see, if we really and truly knew just how much God loves us, it wouldn't be so hard to trust Him. He has a powerful love.
Amen. It casts out all fears. No fear can haunt us. His love so powerful, Brother Matthew. His love conquers all of our foes. No foe can daunt us. Amen. Verse number 36. It says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You don't think you've got enemies. You don't think you've got opposition. You're mistaken. Buddy, the devil don't love you. The world don't love you. The flesh don't love you. They are your enemy. They are your opposition this morning. We have an opposition. But he said, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through His love, through Him that loved us, we have a victory. Colossians 2 and 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. My friend, we may face great opposition, but we have a God greater than our opposition. Our victory is through Him that loved us. Our victory is in the love of God. His love is a powerful love.
Number 4, and I'm closing. His love is a perpetual love. His love is a perpetual love. You could say His love is a permanent love. Last night, about 2:30 this morning, actually, this is the one that grabbed hold of me. His love's a permanent love. Some, hear me now, some have even come down the aisle, one side and then another, gathered around in the presence of God and these witnesses, and joined their lives one to another in the bonds of holy matrimony. One of God have gained hands and joined hands with the other. Looked at my friend eye to eye. Repeated after the man of God. As he said, whether in sickness or in health, in poverty or in wealth, forsaken all others, I cleave unto you and love you until death do us part. And some have made those commitments in a marriage vow. Even my friend had come to a place where they look back at the same spouse. Look in the same eyes and committed to love forever and say to that same person, I just don't love you anymore. That's about as sad a thing as what I could imagine to hear someone who said they'd love you forever. I say, I just don't love you anymore. I've had folks say, preacher, we'll go with you. Now we'll be there with you through thick and thin. And what they really meant was they'd be there with me through thick. Amen. They're going to leave out in the thin. Amen. I tell you, friend, there's some friends that say, I'll be a friend with you all the way. The thin, they're not there when you need them the most. But thank God, I've been hitched up with a bridegroom. I'm back here 22 years ago. And listen to me, friend. He'll never look back into my eyes and say, I'm sorry, Toby, but I just don't love you anymore. I bless His name. Last night I got to studying and writing up on this and sharpening up my pencil, and I just had to stop and crawl out of my chair and put my head in the seat of it and say, Lord, I love you, because I'll never have to hear those words from Him that He just don't love me anymore. Woo! I bless His name for an unconditional love, a perpetual love, a permanent love.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jeremiah 31:3 said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. What about that? You'll never hear Jesus say, I'm sorry, son, but I just don't love you no more. No, no, no. Woo! Oh, I bless His name. Hallelujah. Bless the high and holy name of the Lord. His love is daily renewing. His love is constantly abiding. His love is absolutely assuring. His love is never fading. His love is freely given. He loves so much, so fully, so perfectly, and so permanently that it consumes His very being. That's why it said in 1 John 4, 8-9, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Our very lives are found in the love of God. So long as God loves, we will live. What about that? Wow, that's shouting ground. Amen. You really get that, it'll put you under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. Oh, that's right. Ronnie Simpson said, make you want to dance in the clover. And that's the truth, brother. I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God for the love. Now listen, God's love is a perpetual love. That is, we have a sure persuasion. Verse 38, for I am persuaded. I wonder, are you this morning? Are you persuaded? Are you convinced, in other words? Paul said, I'm persuaded, neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded. I wonder this morning, are you persuaded? Are you almost persuaded like Agrippa in Acts 26 and 28? Or are you fully persuaded like Abraham in Romans 4 and 21? Paul said, I am persuaded. Hey, this ain't the only place where Paul said it. There's another spot in 2 Timothy 2 and 12. He said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed in Him against that day. I thank God there's some things that I am persuaded of. Amen. Oh, thank God. We have a sure persuasion. His love's a perpetual love. His love is a secure position. We have a sure persuasion. We have a secure position. Verse 39, no height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. That's our text. Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Though Satan would like to, he cannot make God stop loving me. Oh, I won't say that again. Though Satan would like to, would love to, he cannot make God stop loving me. Amen. Woo! Oh, bless His name. And though the flesh is at enmity with God, the Savior looks beyond that and loves me. Every flag-waving jihadist can rage. Oh, the God-denying atheist can threaten. Every false religion can criticize. But every force of hell combined cannot stop God from loving me.
Right.
Ain't that wonderful? Boy, that's powerful. What sure and steady love. Any of you in here ever had a steady? Y'all know what that means. Is that terminology that these kids even use now? Going steady or having a steady or having a steady girl or whatever. Is that a term that these kids even use now? I don't know what they use. I can't understand half of what they say. They talk like they have marbles in their mouth all the time running around and like every other word. Try to use a whole sentence sometime or another without using the word like in it. If you want to use like, use it when you actually like something, not just saying like all the time because you don't know what else to say because your vocabulary is so twisted to me and you've texted so much you can't spell your name. And
God, help us. It's pitiful. Amen. Oh, my, my. That's exactly right. And pull your pants up while I'm on that. Pull your pants up. I saw a boy last night, literally, his pants were all the way past, literally, and I don't even have them on for it. They were all the way past the tail end of his boxer shorts. Not just showing the top. All, I mean, you could see the skin between the bottom of his boxer shorts and the top of his pants. He held one hand. He had one hand holding his belt down here like he was riding a horse, you know, just kind of holding it up. Other hand, he held out this way for balance. And then he waddled like a duck. I mean, he looked like a retarded squirrel. I ain't never seen such a mess in my life. Pull your pants up. Amen. God, help us. I don't know how I got distracted with that, but it is pitiful, the society we're living in. Some of y'all youngins that don't know what a steady girl is or what going steady is, some of them are too young to go anything. You can't go nowhere. You don't even have a license or a car. Amen. And you ain't got no business going with nobody until you can actually go somewhere. That's exactly right. Amen. That's right. Oh, we're going together. You in the sixth grade. You ain't going nowhere. Amen. That's right. Get your job, get your car, get your driver's license. Then you can go somewhere. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. And if you make it to 19 without getting married, you won't be an old maid. Hallelujah to His name. That's exactly right. And if it's the will of God for you to marry when you're 18, and it's your feeling you're in the perfect will of God, you won't hear an argument out of this preacher. You probably will from your mom and dad, but you won't hear an argument out of the preacher. That's exactly right. Oh, but God, help us. And for those of you that don't know what it is, I'm back on track now. Those of you that don't know what it is, going steady, or having a steady girl, or having a steady guy, that means that you don't see nobody else but one another. That means you've got a commitment made to one another. You know what? Most of us, somewhere or another in life, that had a steady girl, or had a steady guy, my friend, that we had an arrangement, an understanding with. You know what it is to have an understanding? You have an understanding with them that y'all are going steady. Most of us, some point or another, have had to deal with or whoever it is that's so steady and not being so steady no more. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they decided to be steady with somebody else. I'm so glad. Listen to me, friend. The love of God is truly steady. He'll not take His love from us and give it unto another. He'll not commit spiritual adultery. His love is sure. His love is steadfast. His love is steady. We are in a secure position. You don't have to worry about in the morning, will Jesus love me? Tomorrow night, will Jesus love me? With what I've done, will Jesus love me? He does not love your sin, but He does love you. I'll tell you, we have a secure position. Though Satan would like, he cannot make God stop loving me.
Amen. Amen. There's been more men got whooped in life over trying to butt in and steal somebody's steady girl over anything else. And if those of us who are imperfect in the way we manifest our love would step in when somebody comes along and tries to steal our steady girl, don't you know God will step in when the devil attacks us and does all he can to separate us from the love of God and step in and defend His precious bride that He paid His life's blood to win and to earn her love. Oh, I bless His name for the precious love of God. It's a secure position. His love is a perpetual love. I'm finished preaching this morning. Come on with a song. If you don't know the love of Jesus for yourself this morning, you can. You need to. You must. He knows you, who you are, what you've done, and loves you anyway. Let Him show His love for you and be forgiven your sins. Trust Him with your life. If you need His help, if you need to lean on Him for His love, if you need to call on Him to intervene in your life, He loves you too much to let your prayers go unnoticed. Call on Him. If you just know in your heart that it's been quite a while since you told Him that as surely as He loves you and is for you, that you love Him and are for Him.
You may need to approach these altars this morning and just tell Him, thanks for loving me. Thanks for Calvary. Thanks for the riven side, the nail-pierced hand, the crown of thorns you wore. Thanks for Mom and Dad and all the good times we've had. But most of all, thanks for loving me. As I studied into the wee hours this morning, I had to, with tears in my eyes, just tell Him that I love Him. And how very, very thankful that I am that He chose to love me. I'm so glad that I'll never have to hear my bridegroom say, I'm sorry, Toby, but I just don't love you no more. He just won't ever stop loving me. I wonder, do you need to talk to the Lord this morning? Please stand. If you need to pray, would you come and share your heart with the Lord? Find your place around these altars. Find your place around this mourner's bench and talk to Jesus this morning. Sing whenever you're ready, hon. If you need to pray, would you come? Thanks for loving me. Thanks for Calvary. Sing on, others need to pray, you come. If you need to talk to the Lord while some are praying, others need to pray, you come. Do business with God. Something about His love. I wonder this morning, have you obeyed the Lord, done everything the good Holy Ghost of God would have you do in the meeting today? Ain't it been a blessing to be at the house of God? That's right. Glad I'm saved. Nursing home this afternoon, 2:30. Meeting tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll pray for a service. Wednesday night, back into Questions of the Bible. Help us pray God's will be done in these meetings. All right, take time.